This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. And our little way of going through Psalms, Proverbs, and Acts. Sweet spirit, wisdom, and power. Tonight we'll look for some wisdom, which we all need. So we're set to continue. Most of these verses stand by themselves. We got through verse 17 last time. And so while standing alone, the next four verses are really building blocks and speaking of with regard to the lips and the tongue. So there's a few things we probably ought to say, and that is it's not safe for any one of us to open our lips and permit the heart to pass itself forth through that channel without some form of restraint. I mean, it's very easy for us in the flesh, with the heart in control, to just spout things off. And we've probably all done it. If our hearts were pure, then our words couldn't be too strong. But our hearts are full of corruption. And from a corrupt foundation, you can't have pure waters flowing or sweet waters flowing. And therefore, it's a part of wisdom that we set a watch over our lips. So turn with me to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. And look here in verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Very important. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 10, let's look at 18 first, and then we'll hit some of the others. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. All right, so how do you define a fool, biblically speaking? Huh? It's one of the things, but deeper than that. We're speaking about somebody that's wicked. And we think in terms of a fool, sometimes lightly. The Bible doesn't talk in terms of lightheartedness. And it said that there's two characteristics that are listed right here. Hiding hatred with lying lips. That has to do with concealing personal hatred and lying about another person or thing. The slander is something that's untrue, but it's still an accusation. And those two characteristics really are not the only characteristics, but this, I'm going to give you a description. We're going to look at some of the company that a fool is in fellowship with. So Psalm 14, verse 1, he is a person that says in his heart, there is no God. Or says in his heart, no God. Or both. Now, I'll say this later on, that the unsaved person is very clear sometimes in his profession that there is no God. And it seems to follow that a person like that would also say no to anything God has to say, even though he has already said there is no God. which is kind of ludicrous anyway. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. And let's look here in verse, is it Psalm 12? No, it's not Psalm 12. I forgot what the chapter was. But it, a fool think is assured that he is right in his own mind. And therefore, he cannot constrain the wrath. A fool, he just can't hold it. It's got to come out. And he also thinks that he is right about whatever it is that he's doing. In Psalm 14, I'm sorry, Proverbs 14. No wonder I didn't have it right. Proverbs chapter 14. So let me read in chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and he that hearkeneth under counsel is wise. All right, chapter 14, look at verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. This is one of the passages in a list of people that used to be called modernists. Now we're into postmodernists, but but the verse still carries the same weight. These are people that will look at something sinful, and if you make an issue of something that's sinful, they will mock you. So you're straining at gnats and things like that. They do this personally and they do this publicly, in their hearts and in their behavior. Chapter 18. And look here in verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Is that a modern thought today? Look to your own heart. What is your heart telling you? I would say if you were going to do that, then you would seek wisdom above all things. But not them. In chapter 19, in verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. A fool is perverse in his lips. All right. Go back to Psalms 49. That'll be the last one in this little section of things. Psalm 49 in verse 10. Yes, 49:10. For he that he seeth that wise men, likewise the fool and the brutish person, perish and leave their wealth to others. So these are people that perish, leave the wealth to other people. Now, there is a difference to being a fool and being foolish. A fool can obviously be foolish. And he is. But we can, as saved people, can act foolishly. But we are not fools. You have to make that distinction, because the same thing with hypocrites. In Matthew 23, the Lord refers to the Pharisees as hypocrites. He didn't address them as acting hypocritically, but that they were hypocrites. That's who they are. Have you ever acted hypocritically? In all likelihood, probably you have. Anybody that's ever done a play, and a play is hypocrisy anyway, isn't it? You're trying to pretend you're somebody that you're really not. Every movie is somebody trying to pretend they're somebody they're not. And some people take that in life. They try to pretend they're something or someone that they're not. All right, that would be a hypocrite. You acting hypocritically is far different than being a hypocrite. Hypocrite and the fool, to me, I think the scripture is pretty clear, are lost people. Now, to a lost person, they don't see any difference. So you go out and you you do like Saul and you play the fool. He wasn't a fool, but he played the fool. And somebody else goes out and you do something hypocritically. And here's the lost person and he watches that. And you know what he does? He blames God. He blames the Word of God. He blames Christ. He blames the church and anything else he can blame because he doesn't know the difference. So the admonition of wisdom is don't be hypocritical and don't play the fool and be foolish because lost people just can't see the difference. Now, how awful it was back here in Proverbs 10 for a person to pretend to be your friend or on your side. And later you find out he's your enemy. He is your enemy. Back here in Leviticus chapter 19, in some of these long lists of laws, it's actually a very good verse here, Leviticus 19. And look here in verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy brother, thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. So, you know, we look at this and I kind of take away, don't flatter somebody you actually hate. We shouldn't hate them anyway. But don't flatter them or try to, you know, do something to cause them to think, you know, oh, he really cares. He really is interested in me when, in fact, you don't. And don't slander somebody else. So in 2 Samuel, we have an example. 2 Samuel in chapter 3. Down here around verse 22, we read this. 2 Samuel 3:22, and behold, this, the servants of David and Joab came for pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away and he was gone in peace. And when Joab and all the hosts that were with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he hath sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came this with unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away? And is he quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again to the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. So this was Joab that was that kind of person, where he pretended that he had some interest with Abner, when in fact he intended to kill him in the first place. In Jeremiah chapter 37, I won't read it, but beginning in verse 11 down through 17, this is where you see the slanders against Jeremiah. And when the Lord said, don't even pray for these people, and the Lord really summed it all up in verse 15 and showed how corrupt they were in making these unjust allegations. Okay, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Have you ever noticed throughout the Word of God, I think it's kind of amazing how the Word, God has seen to devote to the subject of his creation's words. I mean, there's all kinds of conversations, people speaking throughout the Word. And readiness of speech really is seldom to be found where eventually sin doesn't creep in somewhere. There, we had a man when I worked in the hardware, or kind of a like a Home Depot, Lowe's type store before they were out. And he was a military fellow, and he couldn't say 10 words without the profanity just coming out. I mean, in a normal sentence, you know, where it's not even necessary. And, you know, the other guys, they out there, they all thought that's funny and everything. So we were sitting down one day at lunchtime. The two of us took lunch at the same time. We rarely ever did that. And he started talking, and out these things came, and he just stopped and he said, "Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that, should I?" I said, "You said it." And he said, "I don't know why I do what I don't know why I do that." And I said, "Well, I think I do. It's because this is all you know. You don't have, in all likelihood, you don't have an indwelling Holy Spirit, because in all likelihood, you're not saved." And gave him a great opportunity to talk to him. But this is how lost people talk. And it's just eventually I've seen things in reading articles. I've seen things on television that there's no reason for the profanity and the filth. None. But it's injected because it's who they are. It's just the nature of it. And I think to refrain from talking is often very difficult. But that's linked to wisdom. Sometimes you don't have to jump in and put your two cents in all the time. You just don't. And sometimes it's better to just hold off and just see where everything's going. We who allege that we belong to God should weigh our words, should think before we speak. Oftentimes, we really get ourselves in trouble if we talk without thinking about what it is we're saying. And maybe you don't have that trouble. I would like to think I didn't have that trouble, but I've done that many a time. And you have to eat those words. And they're not very tasty. They're kind of like rocks, and they don't digest very well. All right, verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, the tongue and the heart are almost used synonymously, and one is controlled by the other. So the tongue of the righteous are to speak from a heart that's in obedience and subjection to the Lord and the Word. And therefore, the words that are spoken are of value. I've been places where people, and it's not always the greatest thing to say, but people have preached and preached and preached, and I felt they haven't said anything. They've just talked and talked and talked, but. You know, if you're right with the Lord, I feel, and you're in subjection to the Word, then the things you say carry weight. And the weight is necessary so that we can see and learn from that and do something with what we hear. The heart of the lawless is made known by these idle and perverse conversations that they spew out. So, you know, the statements are there, and I appreciate the statements because they're true, and yet we should look at that and weigh the things that are happening in our lives and hopefully speak things that are important. All right, verse 21. Here's the fourth one. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. When the righteous speak, it is for spiritual profit. It is for edification. It is for growth. It is for discernment. Sometimes it's for correction. I mean, if we're speaking in harmony with the Word of God, the things that we speak are important. I would hate to think that it was not necessary for me or for anybody that's taught or spoken here or preached here not to prepare. And I've been places where people don't prepare. They just decide they're part of the Old West and they're gunslingers. They're going to shoot from the hip. And it shows they shoot from the hip because they don't have anything to say. Well, I've always felt that I think it's important and necessary, if you take the time to come here, that there be something that be given out that would be beneficial, that would be profitable, spiritually profitable for you as well as for me. I mean, anybody can read these things and just pour forth a thought or two. But this is important. In verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. We ought to be a people that feed each other. The shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd in John 10 took the sheep where there was food. So in the pasture. So a lot of times these things that I allude to and start to go with and then kind of drop it off are great for you to just keep going with it. And you'll see, how great these things really are. But that's not how it is with fools. It just isn't. Their speech is worthless. I mean, that's sad. That's tragic. Before I was saved, all my words were worthless. They had no spiritual value whatsoever. I can think of things that I did with some of the group that we ran with, and I thought, I am so glad that it's been so many years removed. I would hate to have to go back and face any of those people. But if I did, the first thing I would do is apologize for just the brashness and the lack of knowledge and just the perverseness of everything. And the reason I say that the speech is worthless is because they don't have the heart to learn from those that could instruct them. It's not there. It's just not. You've dealt with people before, and people that maybe aren't the same mindset as we are, or lost, and they want something, and you give them good speech, you give them things that are beneficial, but they don't want that. And let's take the transients that come down through here through the years that have waited until church is out, and then they'll come in and say, is the pastor there? Or they'll come in when nobody's here and we're doing stuff outside. And they've got the most believable stories you could ever imagine. I wish I had an imagination like they did. Their kids are dying. Their kids are in Orlando in the hospital. We broke down on the highway. They're very brazen. Can you put us up in a motel for 3 or 4 nights? And we'll pay. All of them say we'll pay you back. And you begin to talk to them, you try to make sense of them, and you find out they're not interested in being made sense with. They're just interested in the money, and then they go their way. So from time to time, I would give out money. And then I put it with a policy, like a thing after. I said, I don't want you to talk anymore about what you are going to lie to me about, because you have no intention of coming back here. And so therefore, I said, I'm going to give you this, and I'm not going to worry about it. But so there are some that I wouldn't give money to. One, I went over and filled up a gas tank, but I certainly wouldn't give them money. I've offered to get and take somebody for food, but again, I wouldn't give them money. It was just too shady. There are others that I've given, but I never gave money from the church. And I've always said the church does not give out money that way. We have money for the people inside the church, but not outside the church. So lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. I think this business of being a fool is very serious, because it's mentioned the fool, the fools, foolish, foolishly, are all in Scripture. And you can take the things that are foolish, and let me see if I can find this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I hope I can. Yes, I do. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I want you to look in verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Was that person a fool? Well, he could have been. Could he have been a believer? He could have been that too. But the reaction is, hey, you want to be foolish? You know, it's like taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Suddenly there are things that could go on that are physical in dealing with your life. And even though you don't think, well, what's wrong with, you know, being foolish? Well, you need to read some more about this, because there are things that are wrong. So I wanted to get the rest of this chapter for next time and get to this part about the tongue and the lips. James chapter 3, how can a mouth speak out of both sides? And James, he just had a real problem with that. It's the same mouth, the same tongue. And you got bitter words coming out and sweet words coming out. How can that be? And, of course, you know our hearts. And there again, we can act foolishly, act hypocritically, but still be believing people. But I think those are things that need to be taken care of. They need to be confessed and repented of and not done. So, let's have a word of prayer. We got some extra time if you want to do anything or say anything, that'd be good. Father, we thank you for the way Solomon framed the words, where he put these four little verses together, dealing with the spoken word and the motivation behind the fool. And the characteristics, not just that, but many more, that there are people that have really fooled us and have had really no good intention toward us whatsoever. And we have discovered over the course of time that we have a real enemy, not only the devil, but a real enemy in a human being. And we've heard some probably slanderous things toward us over the years, very untrue, and have had to deal with those as well. It's a very sad time as our country and the world moves away from your word, in obedience to your word, moves away from the gospel, people being saved, and really doing our own thing, thinking our own way, and eventually getting to the same point as the fool does. Everything I've got to be right. How could I be wrong? And we need to be on guard for all of that. Not making judgments necessarily, but just observing that a saved person can act foolishly. But is that a fool? No. A fool will act foolishly too. And how do you know the difference? We have to know the difference some way. So give us a real sense of discernment as we go through and deal with these issues that we have to deal with all the time. And we ask now that you'll go before us as we go to our places. Safety, wisdom, taking advantage of opportunities to use what we know for you. And we'll thank you for it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.